The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And today we are talking about the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Well, half of it.
Yeah, half of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a long franchise. So
the title of this episode is our Fast episode.
Yes, and we're going to talk about the first four, because really the last four are a completely different franchise.
Oh yeah, definitely different. they're their own little beast.
Right. So, well, we are not far behind on this, because we've watched these pretty much since they've come out, since, what, the fourth or fifth one?
Yeah.
I'd say.
At least the fifth one, yeah.
Our special guest today, Monica.
Hello.
Had never seen any of them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Monica Hicks, welcome.
So, thank you.
She is a little behind, and we caught her up. But before we get into Fast and Furious, I want to piggyback a little bit on our episode last week. We were talking about the Karate Kid franchise, and we ran out of time because it was just so much fun. But we didn't really get to talk very much about Cobra Kai, which is the YouTube series.
We didn't talk about it at all.
We mentioned it throughout the whole episode, but we didn't really talk about it. And I just want to take a minute to say, if you have not watched it, get on YouTube. Get it. It is worth the money. It is almost right now, it is my favorite TV show. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So well done.
It is better than all of the movies put together.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, everyone does such a great job. You finally get Johnny getting to tell his side of the story. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually do flashbacks of the first movie, and he's telling his student his side of the story, what went down from his perspective. And it was so nice to see that. And just all the actors do such a great job. It's so well written. Absolutely see it. Even if you are not a fan of the movies, doesn't matter. It's a great show.
So I promised friends of ours who haven't watched it yet that we would not give any spoilers.
No spoilers.
So all I can say is it's 10 episodes, and it answers so many questions that you usually have, or you find plot holes with the movies.
Mm-hmm.
They're covered.
Mm-hmm.
It nods so well to the originals without – it doesn't use nostalgia as a crutch.
Right, yeah.
Which is – it's an easy trap to fall into. The TV show Roseanne is kind of doing that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this one is exactly what you want from something that takes place 34 years later.
It exceeded expectations, and Chris blew my mind a little bit because he pointed out that Ralph Macchio now is older than Pat Morita was in the first Karate Kid, which is just ridiculous.
Currently, Ralph Macchio is 57 years old, and in the first Karate Kid, Pat Morita was 52 years old.
Just insane. Anyway,
exactly.
So
that is our thing. We just take the time.
So go watch it.
Go watch Cobra Kai. It gets our full endorsement. It gets four thumbs up and a smile.
Yay!
There you go.
All right, so now on to this week's topic. We're talking about Fast and Furious.
Okay. So this franchise has 8 movies in it,
mm-hmm.
and it is guaranteed to have 10.
Right.
Yes. So this starts off very small and just escalates.
It's hard to believe, watching the 8th movie, that these started as just street racing.
Yeah. By the time you get to the 8th one, you're wondering where the racing go.
Right? Right? They kind of mention it in passing.
Yeah,
and
there are cars in it.
Yes.
About as close as they get.
But that's, yeah. Oh, it's just, okay. So we're
gonna, not going to talk about
we're gonna focus
5
on,
through 8.
Cause, right.
Because that is going to take up its whole hour.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
I'm kind of dragging my feet right now with talking about 1 through 4, just because there's not as much.
By comparison, they're boring.
Yeah. Kind of.
Okay, so we'll recap one at a time. So we'll recap one, talk about one, and then two, and then whatever. So Fast and the Furious 1. It is Brian O'Connor is an undercover FBI agent who is trying to catch a gang of thieves who are using fast cars to rob trucks on the freeway.
And steal DVD players.
And steal DVD players.
Like, how much small time can you get? Like, can you get smaller?
That was big in the day.
I know, and it's ridiculous.
That was the entire premise. A gang was stealing DVD players from the back of trucks while in motion. Ooh, so they had to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
I never understood why the trucks never just stop.
Yeah. They always keep going. Maybe it's because truckers are paid on a per mile basis, so they don't want to get their pay docked. Although you'd think that they'd probably get their pay docked if their entire inventory was stolen mid transfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So you watch the movie, and Brian is trying to get into the street racing life to be undercover, which is kind of led by Dominic Toretto.
Dominic Toretto.
Played with Shakespearean acting ability by Vin Diesel.
Yes, yes.
If ever you want a dialogue delivered with emotion, look no further than anyone but Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I love him, but... I mean, he is Groot.
He is Groot.
Like,
he was perfectly cast as Groot.
I am Groot. Like, the thing about it is, so he runs it, his... Now, they run a restaurant, right?
Well, it's the garage that he runs, and it has a little diner in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where his sister, played by Jordana Brewster, is a waitress. And so Brian comes in, and he wants to be a part of the gang. So he races with Dom. He races Dom, and he loses. So he owes Dom a car, which gets him into the group. And everyone is very tight-knit in this group because he thinks that it's going to be this other Asian family that has it because it's all...
They're like rival gangs.
Yeah. And so he gets into it. Spoiler alert, which this whole show is going to be about that.
Oh, big old spoiler. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, big old spoilers.
If you haven't seen these movies and you don't want to know what's coming, then, you know, just save us on your computer, download our episode, and listen to it when you're done.
Exactly.
Because we're going to be talking about
Turns out that the street racers that are robbing the trucks aren't the Asian family. It's actually Dominic Toretto's group.
Dom.
So they go to this thing called Race Wars.
Race Wars.
Which is not what you'd expect Race Wars to be.
No, it's actually racing, yep. Like with cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the desert.
And
it's like Burning Man with cars.
And
yes.
Part of Dominic's team is Jesse, who's this little like spider monkey of a guy who looks like he's probably on a lot more meth than
yes.
Like and it's never covered, but you know it.
And he's driving a tricked out Jetta that in real life was purchased by Frankie Muniz.
Yeah.
So,
and
trivia.
What's the other guy's name? He comes back in five.
Oh, but, I guess I can.
Yeah,
look.
You're an IMDb fact checker.
That's true.
And he's in
Leon.
It.
No, okay. Vince.
Okay.
Vince does not like Brian because Vince likes Mia, which is Jordana Brewster's character.
Brian is competition.
Mm-hmm.
Brian is competition, and as it turns out, once he's the fed, so he turns them all in. And how do you do that? You race.
Although I think it's funny that there's an old Dane Cook stand up about how he loves these heist movies, and there's always the new guy who comes in at the last minute, and you have the guy going, I don't trust him, and they're like, no, he's fine, and then he turns out to not be fine, and that's exactly the situation.
Yeah. Oh, these movies are every sort of cliche possible.
But the thing is that in these movies, in each sequence, once you're an enemy, in the next movie you're part of the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time.
That's been the pattern.
So this movie is it in a nutshell. There's nothing super exciting about it. If you like fast cars, you like tuned up foreign cars.
And butts. There's a lot of butt shots. Yep.
Then this movie's for you. But there's nothing to write home about.
Right. But I will say that... Yeah, I've told the story a couple times in the last couple days. So usually when you hear stories about productions of movies, the executives, the production executives, the studio heads always get in the way of creativity. You know, they don't want you to fulfill your dream because of whatever reasons. But you know what? The studio executives of this movie, they get an A+ gold star because director of this movie.
The original concept.
The original concept of this movie had Dominic Toretto played by...
Mario Lopez.
Mario Lopez. It had Brian O'Connor played by...
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
And it had Jesse played by...
Dustin Diamond.
And if you're not aware of those three people, they are all from Saved by the Bell. So this would have been a Saved by the Bell movie with cars. And the executives thought that that might be a little confusing.
That people would think it's a Saved by the Bell movie.
Yeah. And so they put the kibosh on it. And you know what? Good on them.
Yeah.
Good on them.
Because
that would have been terrible.
Like,
although I can see Dustin Diamond playing the character of Jesse. I think that would totally fit.
So we've talked about
I mean,
about
one
this.
Of these individuals, but not the trio
not together.
Yeah, not the trio
although,
together.
Although I don't think Mario Lopez wouldn't have
no,
been a very good Dom.
Yeah,
the other two,
one.
Yeah.
Mario Lopez is just too charming. He's
too
suave.
Adorable.
Yeah.
Those dimples. It's the dimples.
Like, rest in peace, Paul Walker, but mm-hmm. I feel that Mark Paul Gosselaar could have really played that role well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to be played against Vin Diesel.
Yeah, yeah. Not Mario Lopez.
And all of those actors looked so young. They were so young. And mm-hmm.
Oh, and smaller, because Vin Diesel is about half the size of Vin
That's
Diesel
right.
now.
Yeah.
Yes. He's more like Vin Unleaded at that point.
True.
But, so that and so that's what it is. And so at the end of this movie, Dom finds out that Brian is an undercover FBI agent. And so he goes back to his home to race the one car that scares the bejesus out of him.
It's his dad's American muscle car.
Yeah, it scares him. It's the car that scares him. Which, by the way, precursor to all the other movies that we'll be talking about in the next episode, that's a big line of baloney because they do so many more things that one car should not be afraid. Should not
make
him afraid.
Maybe. Well, because this one is still, I mean... In comparison, this is all, you know, all things being equal with this franchise, this is still a somewhat realistic movie.
Sure.
Like, it's not, but compared to everything else, it is. So the reason he's afraid of this car is because it was his dad's car and his dad got hurt in it or Dom tried to drive it and it was too powerful. I don't know.
It's just
so
too powerful.
I kind of feel like him racing it at the end and... having that experience kind of broke the barrier for him.
He faced
and now
his fear.
Yeah, and now he's like, well, whatever, I can drive anything.
So Brian,
and do anything.
So
like,
Brian owed him a 10-second car from early on.
Mm-hmm.
He lost the race and he owed him a 10-second car. And so the only way to... So this is definitely Point Break.
Oh, absolutely. It's very much Point Break.
It's Point Break on land.
Yeah.
And so at the end, he races... So Brian races Dom... in a drag race through the city, and Dom flips his super muscle car, and he's going to be taken in by the cops. And then Brian says, tosses the keys to his car, and he's like, I owed you a 10-second car. And Vin Diesel rides off into the sunset.
Yep.
End of movie. Should have been end of series, really. Like, in all things considered, should have been the end of series.
Mm-hmm.
Because... while I was just found out recently, because we watched all the way through, that there is a post-credit scene. It's the only one that has
a
post-credit scene
at the end of the credits.
Yes. There's one more, but this one, and it's just Dom reciting his mantra in Mexico, and he's like, I live my life a quarter mile at a time. And that's it. And so that should be it. Well, people didn't realize that there's a lot of people, and we know this from Cool April Nights here in this town, there are a lot of car people.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you get when you get car people and money? You get a franchise.
So 2 years later, they decide to make a sequel.
And we will talk about that after the break. So we're going to take a break, and then we'll talk about Too Fast, Too Furious. So you are listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez. That's Jen Gomez. She's like, I'm already done. I'm already in break mode. And that's Monica Hicks.
Hello.
And again, you're listening to We're a Little Behind.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Monica Hicks.
And we are talking about the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Yeah, we are.
The first four, one through four today. Because
one through four.
Next week, be here when we cover Fast Five through the Fate of the Furious. That's things, right, five through eight.
Things get crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's
super
where it really picks
crazy.
Up.
Yeah, it picks up steroids, mixes them with cocaine, puts them on speed, and then drinks a Red Bull as a chaser.
No, a NOS.
NOS, yeah.
That's true.
Exactly. Okay, so after Fast and the Furious, they decided, hey, we have a franchise, but you know what? You know who doesn't do sequels?
Vin Diesel doesn't do sequels.
That's yeah, right. he was filming XXX at the time.
He got into porn?
No, the movie XXX.
Oh,
so close.
Got
which is another action movie, which is, I mean, it's pretty much Fast and Furious with motorcycles instead of cars.
Got it. And so he does not do sequels. So we have Too Fast, Too Furious, which is a cool title. Because
mm-hmm.
it's got twos.
Yeah, it's
two
not just the Fast and Furious 2. It's Too Fast, Too Furious. Mm-hmm. They like to pun around with the movie names.
Yeah.
This franchise, this one introduced two of my favorite characters in the series, Roman and Tej,
mm-hmm.
which is played by Tyrese as Roman, and Tej is played by Ludacris.
Mm-hmm.
Luda.
Yep, and this one is great. So the recap of this one is, it's a solid sequel.
Mm-hmm.
The Brian, Paul Walker, makes his return, trying to recoup his reputation after letting the horrible, most wanted felon, Dominic Toretto, get away. He now has to clear his name to try to work back his ranks through the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're trying to get a drug dealer's money, correct?
Yeah. Well, they're trying to stop a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to stop a drug dealer. But they're getting this money because we never see any drugs in this movie.
Right.
Yeah. And another undercover agent who's been in the drug dealer's cartel for many years now is played by Eva Mendez.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, you don't have Jordana Brewster, so we got to make sure that we get him another feisty Latina to make sure that Brian's thirst is quenched for lovely ladies.
Yep. Yeah, but they don't really delve too much into their relationship. Like they kind of have a flirting thing going on, but they don't.
What are you talking about? They full on have sex.
Oh, yeah. They do. Oh, I missed that part.
She gets caught at his. Well, almost gets caught at his place.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
On that houseboat
thing. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Sorry.
They were a thing.
So many movies.
So.
So many movies.
He needs to race. He needs to race to get, because they got to prove that so he's got to race to get into the drug cartel.
Right. So that he can become a driver.
A driver and a runner. But he needs a partner because he has to have partners. So who does he get? The first guy he put into prison, his own his schoolmate, Roman Pierce, I believe. And it's played by Tyrese. Can't stand him. Hilarious guy. And it's just, he's very mild in this one. Like,
yes.
it's Roman light.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he gets more and more out there as the movies continue.
Yeah. And you meet Tej, played by Ludacris, who is a guy who can pretty much set you up with anything, and they don't really delve into the part that he's into computers as much as they do later on.
Yeah, he's a mechanic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And it's worth noting that the only person to appear in all eight movies is Ludacris. And when I say appear, I mean like in it all, because Vin Diesel is not in two at all.
Right.
And of course, Paul Walker
is not in three.
Well, he's not in three. He's also not in eight,
right?
Because he has passed. But Ludacris, while he acts in 2 through 8, he was featured on the soundtrack of 1. So he is the only person to be in all 8 movies.
Nice.
Of the main cast.
I think that's a cop-out way of putting that. But
hey, it's a technicality, but it's there.
Because technically, no one has acted in all 8.
No one has acted in all 8. That's just, unless there's like some random... like party girl,
some extra.
I'm gonna have to scour IMDb now. I have to know.
Because there is no one person that's in the main cast that overlaps in all of them.
Right. Because Vin Diesel, while he's not a main character in 3, he's at least in it. He does a cameo for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So 2 is, it's kind of a throwaway movie. I mean, it's solid. It doesn't rehash the same plot as the first one, which I give it credit for. But there's not a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Like,
it introduces Roman into the gang. And
Ted. And so I'm good with that. Then you go to 3, which is Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. So what happens when you have no one from the first 2 movies? You make a third one with completely new people for a completely new purpose.
And the only tying factor is that they race.
Yes. That's
The butt shots.
And the butt shots. Although it does introduce us to Han.
It does. Yes. So, is there anything that I'm missing about 2? I kind of...
No, not really.
You know what? It's kind of a downfall of a lot of franchises. The second, just not all. Because
not all.
I know Back to the Future 2 is your favorite movie.
Spider-Man 2 was better than Spider-Man.
But in a lot of them, like, even like with books and stuff, like Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets was kind of a slump.
Yeah.
Of all the books, that one's kind of my least favorite. So, you know, they're trying to figure out how to extend the story.
I'm pretty sure I didn't like the whiny year Harry Potter myself, but...
It's kind of all of them.
Okay.
Kind of whiny.
So we get to Tokyo Drift.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Tokyo Drift takes place in... I don't know where it starts off.
But Hong Kong?
No. It doesn't start off in Hong Kong.
I forget where it starts off.
Tokyo Drift.
Some high school.
Tokyo.
Right. Some high school in, like, Texas.
Yeah.
Because that kid has got an accent on him.
Oh, yeah.
So the lead actor is the boy who was in the movie Sling Blade.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got that, he's got a serious twang into his voice in everything he says. And so he is in school and he just wants to, he builds his own cars, and apparently the back, quick backstory is that he's been bounced around from town to town because he gets in so much trouble everywhere. He's a juvenile delinquent, but with a heart of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so he builds his own cars to stay out of trouble. And, of course, the jock, the football jock with the hot chick, decides that they need to race because he's a bully.
Who was played by Zachary Ty Bryan.
Right.
Yep.
For a very short amount of time, but yes. And, you know, the Fast and the Furious, I'm gonna break into this here. The Fast and the Furious franchise has this very extreme way of, polarizing way of objectifying women. Women are complete objects unless
when they're at the races. Yeah.
Unless you're the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, it's complete mm-hmm. equality. Like, it's really weird in that way, but it seems to work. And in this one, they kind of get away from that because the girl makes herself the prize
yeah.
for mm-hmm. whoever wins the drag yeah. race. I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so they decide to race through a subdivision that's under construction. Mm-hmm. They're building new suburbs. And they wreck. And so
Hard. Oh, yeah.
Much damage. Like, probably, again, felony damage.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide...
And they should... All three of them should be
yeah.
dead.
Yeah. Well, of course. Okay, if you're going to go with all three of them should be dead, we should have been done in the first movie.
That's true. But, and also, the girl who puts herself up for the prize gets in the car with her boyfriend and rides shotgun. I'm like, really?
I'm like, okay. Yeah, that's, also, yeah, if you're in a race, you don't want to add weight to the car.
No.
Just saying.
But again, as these movies go on, they more and more defy the laws of physics and any logic whatsoever.
Right? Yes. So they cause damage. They race. They cause damage. And so they decide that the kid's going to go to juvie unless he goes to live with his dad, who is kind of a army guy who's kind of been a deadbeat and up and around. So it's his only hope is to go with his dad, who is in Tokyo.
It's weird that he's portrayed as like this deadbeat dad, yet he's deployed. So, is it really his fault that he's not there if he is deployed? Like, he's stationed in Tokyo. He can't help that. If the family didn't want to go with him, that's fine, but they can't blame him for the military sending him to Tokyo.
Right. So, anyway. He gets to Tokyo, and of course it's culture shock, except for the fact that everyone speaks English.
I think mm-hmm. he's at a school near the military base, so a lot of the military children go there. There's a lot of Latinas.
Yeah.
And cool. And white kids, too, in the back. Like,
mm-hmm. There's very few Asian kids at this school.
Yeah. Unless they're being the bad guy.
Right.
Which is, this movie is not very good either, but like you said, it introduces us to the character, Han.
And he's great.
He's great.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder what it is about him, because they don't really, like, I don't think that they planned for it to happen this way, but they also don't give you a lot of background on him either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just kind of shows up.
He just kind of shows up for no reason, and they don't give you much detail, and then, spoiler alert, he dies in the middle of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what happens is Han is kind of into some shady deals with this other guy, who's kind of like the underling for his uncle, who's kind of like the head of the, almost like the Yakuza. And so
it's very much Karate Kid too.
It is very much Karate Kid too. And so Han is trying to get away from this kid. And so they're racing through Tokyo, drifting through Tokyo, and his car flips, and it explodes. Han is dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dead. Han, he's a dead.
He's a dead.
Mm-hmm.
So the American kid, who's the lead in this, decides that it's up to him to race the bad guy for honor? I don't really remember.
Well, it's kind of a big thing there, so, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like... So he races him. Oh, that's right. He challenges the uncle. He tells the uncle that if he wins, then, like, they'll leave and he'll be like, he'll almost be like his indentured servant. I don't remember what it is. But if not, then they're all free to go and it clears Han's name and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So, long story short, of course, the American guy beats all the Japanese guys because apparently this is a 1944 propaganda film.
And wins the Latina girl as his prize.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
the Latina girl who is the girlfriend of the bad guy. Who is now the girlfriend of the white guy. It's very confusing.
So he ends up with her, and Little Bow Wow is his best buddy. And so they're at I'm dead serious. Little Bow Wow is in this movie.
I forgot about Bow Wow.
Little Bow Wow is in this movie, and he's kind of like a fence. He can get you anything you need, you know, and usually they're all broken electronics or, you know, not. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like the American version in Japan of the Japanese products that you import into America.
Mm-hmm. He's like Chinatown.
He's the geek app.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So end of movie, he wins, the uncle says you brought great honor, and gets to the end of the movie, they're all at the garage where they drift, and Bow Wow's like, there's a guy here who wants to race you, who wants to drift, and he's like, no, he's like, but he knew Han, he says he was like family to him, and you're like, oh, he used the word family.
You know what's coming.
You know what it is. Turns out, bum, 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 it's Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel comes back for exactly 3 minutes in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why.
Well, I know why. He agreed to come back in if Universal would sell him the rights to Riddick so that he could make more Riddick movies. That was his deal. He said, I will be in your movie if you give me the rights to Riddick. And they said, done. And they signed it over, and then he made his cameo.
Awesome. So this one is kind of a weird standalone. The only way it ties into the original two at all is Vin Diesel coming in.
At the end, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You would think that was the end. That should have been the end.
Right.
Like one should have been the end.
Like two should have been the end.
Like three should have been the end. Mm-hmm. And technically it was, because there was a pretty big gap between... This is the biggest gap, I think, between movies.
Right. So this movie came out in 2006. So the first one came out in 2001, then 2003... Then 2006, then 2009. So it was actually the same.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So in 2009, we get Fast and Furious. They dropped the thes.
The thes have gone away. But you go, okay, so, and then in 4, which I will talk about after the break, but in 4, you get the cast back.
Mm-hmm.
You get Vin Diesel, you get Paul Walker, Jordana Brewster, Michelle Rodriguez. You get them all back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it ties in. Yeah. So Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift really fits in nowhere.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. Not yet. Believe it or not, we'll ruin it because we'll have to talk about this later.
Mm-hmm.
It is the bridge movie between Fast 6 and Fast 7.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There are points that tie in. They were able to retcon in the third movie into the timeline, as so the actual timeline of Fast and the Furious is 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 3, 7, 8.
Which is great, because you didn't know that going in.
No.
So you watched the third movie, and you enjoyed it, and oh, that mm-hmm. Han character, that's too bad he was gone, because he was kind of a cool guy. Cut to 3 years later, Fast and Furious is released, and you get all excited, and you go to the theater, and you watch the opening sequence, and you're like, wait a minute, why is Han driving a car?
That guy's dead.
He dead. And
right?
You don't get an explanation for another two movies.
You don't get the explanation until the sixth movie.
Actually, I would argue that you don't really get an explanation until the seventh movie.
No, I'd say six.
Six? Okay.
Yeah, I'd say six. But we'll get into that later. We're going to take a break right now. We are going to, and we'll talk about 4, and we'll explain why 4, though is intense bringing everyone back, is probably the least impressive of the series.
Yeah, I would agree.
Even more than 3, mm-hmm. oddly enough.
Yeah.
This will be your job during the commercial. You're going to look up all the Rotten Tomato scores for all 8 movies.
Yes.
And we're going to show you exactly why we're breaking up this show into 2 shows. All right, so you are listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez. That's Jen Gomez. That's Monica Hicks. I'm using my finger to point at them. You can't see it because this is all audio. But you are listening to We're a Little Behind. We'll be right back.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 96003.
One country act is great, but Red Sun Festival is bringing you five country acts on an outdoor stage to benefit car fire relief. It's a full-volume country fest on the Reading Civic Auditorium lawn, Sunday, September 30th, with Farron Rachels, David Lennon, Carly Pierce, Frankie Ballard, and headliners Eli Young Band. It's a huge show with a huge heart. $5 from every ticket, plus all net proceeds and donations from the band go to car fire relief efforts. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 donated. We promise bars, food trucks, and fun. So check out RedSunFestival.com for details. Rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th on the Reading Civic Lawn. Get tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Reading Civic box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
Get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Monica Hicks.
And we are talking about the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Yeah.
That song right there is I Can't Drive 55 by Sammy Hagar. Feels fitting, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't think these guys could drive 55.
Oh, no. Are you kidding? They can't even drive. They can't even drive 155.
It's true. It's true.
So, did you fill out the homework assignment?
I did. I did my homework.
So, On the Rotten Tomatoes scale, where do these all fall?
So, number one came in at 53.
Okay.
Two dropped to 36.
Yeah.
Three was up, 37, so it was a little better. Four dropped to 29, and it is the lowest of the franchise. And then five came out, and it rocketed to 77.
77. Mm-hmm.
And then six dropped to 69. And then 7 is the highest rated at 80, and then 8 was at 66.
Now, I feel that 7 was the highest rated scored because it got the sympathy factor for, because that's the one that came out right after Paul Walker's death.
Right. But you know what? I think it's deserved. I think it was really well made. And They only had Paul, and we'll talk about this, of course, next week. They only had Paul for half the filming.
Yeah.
And so the rest of his scenes were either deleted scenes from prior movies, digitally enhanced with CGI, or his brothers being body doubles and voiceovers. And the end of the movie was a very moving tribute to Paul Walker. And a Fast and Furious movie should not make you cry, and it makes me cry every freaking time.
Okay, so we'll talk about that next week. That's part of our part two extravaganza.
Yep.
Because, again, these are two very different, even though it's the same franchise, they're two very different series.
They feel so different, yeah.
So, Fast and Furious, it got rid of the thus, but it brought back all the actors. This one starts off with Brian making his way. He's back on top in the FBI, but he's still got something to prove. We don't have Tej, we don't have Roman, we only have the original four. We have Paul Walker, Brian O'Connor, Vin Diesel's Dominic Toretto, Jordana Brewster's Mia Toretto, and we have Michelle Rodriguez's Letty.
That's right. I forgot Tej wasn't in this. So my earlier comment about Ludacris being in the mall is invalid.
He might be on all the soundtracks, who knows?
That's true.
Although this doesn't feel like it would have as much of a hip-hop soundtrack.
No.
So this one...
Oh, and we get Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. This
That's
is,
right,
this
yeah.
This is the first appearance of Gal Gadot.
Mm-hmm. It was her first movie.
Really?
Whoa. I'm pretty sure it was her debut.
So, now, I don't know. I always say Gal Gadot. I know some people say it's Gal Gadot.
I say Gadot.
So, if we're saying it wrong or we're saying it right, it doesn't matter.
Yes, it is her film debut.
Okay. And she's great in this. But so this one starts off with Brian making his way back into the FBI, and he's tracking down all types of different people. And Dom has been in the Dominican Republic hiding out because, remember, he's on the lam. Poor Mia has been stuck back at home in L.A. with no one. Because her brother's on the run, and Brian has been everywhere, so they're no longer speaking. And Dom leaves Letty in the Dominican Republic one night, and the next thing you know, she ends up dead.
Mm-hmm.
Dead. So you find out that she's been killed by a ruthless drug smuggler, because she was running with his gang after Dom left. Why did he leave? It was never really established. Like, he just didn't want to put her in jeopardy anymore,
I think someone approached him of some... Yeah, I don't remember.
So she...
It's kind of a forgettable movie.
So so she ends up dead. And Brian is trying to find her killer and get into that, and to get those drug smugglers. And so the one person he can count on... Dominic Toretto, because Dom wants revenge for them killing the love of his life that he for some reason left. And so where does Brian go? To Mia, because he wants more of that sweet, sweet tuna sandwich. Well, next thing you know, him and Dom start racing each other, because they're not best buds yet. They're not brothers from another mother at this point, because last we saw, Brian let him go, but I mean, he turned out to be a bust, a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And so Brian tries getting with Mia to get in contact with Dom. Dom then races against Brian, and then they have to race together because they got to get Braga, who is the unshown drug leader, and his goons are trying to kill anyone who's standing in their way. And as it turns out, the main goon turns out to actually be Braga. Bum, bum, bum!
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it.
There's not much left to it. So Dom decides that since he's now turned into... He's helped catch the drug dealer, the drug smuggler, and Brian's on the FBI, that he's gonna put in a good word, and all of the stuff he's done is wiped away. Doesn't quite work out that way.
Yeah, that's a deal he agrees to.
Yeah.
But then when he goes in front of the judge is like, yeah, no, you've done way too much for me to just clean your slate. No, 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 you're going to prison.
Yep. And so he's on the bus to prison. But is he? He's on the bus to prison. Yes, he is. But Brian and Mia and Dom's other Dominican Republican buddies come in all of their races and all of their race cars, and they start chasing down the bus. End of movie.
Yeah, so this is the first movie that obviously has a sequel,
mm-hmm.
because it ends, literally ends, with these street racing cars driving up on the bus,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh, okay, they're going to break him out of the bus. Oh, no credits? Oh, okay.
That's it.
And then Fast Five immediately picks up
where
four left off. Mm-hmm. But this is the one where you're like, oh, yep, that's absolutely mm-hmm. going to have a sequel. So by now, everyone is just resigned to the fact that this is a multi-movie franchise.
Yep.
This one didn't make, I'm assuming that it didn't make very much, as much as the rest, but it was enough to keep it going. It was an interesting way, because it seemed like all the actors were done with it after the first one, and then, mm-hmm. Paul Walker was done with it by the second one. So the third one came along, and I don't know, they just convinced them all to do this fourth one, and they're like, well, we're only going to do it if the script is really good. And so that's why they did it. Believe it or not, they counted that one as the good script.
Yeah. Well, it made $155 million.
Oh, I didn't say it didn't do well. I just don't think it did well as some of the rest.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure these last ones have been clearing $1 billion.
Oh, the last ones, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are ridiculous.
But the thing about these four, so that is it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I don't know, it is what it is. Like, the reason why we did these is to get to the second episode, which is going to be 5 through 8.
Yeah.
We're going to put that out there immediately and just say that's our plan.
Yeah, when I told Chris and Jen that I hadn't seen the Fast and Furious, they were like, okay, we have to watch the whole, like, all the movies, but
that's a big
if you really wanted to, we could start with 5 through 8.
Uh-huh.
But like, I wanted to see all of them, and 1 through 4 were they're fun racing movies. They were very entertaining, but oh my gosh, nothing compared to the ludicrousness that happens in 5 through 8.
Oh yeah, no, it's they're so crazy, and the thing about it is that you have Vin Diesel who wouldn't do sequels, and so they decide to do these, and now he's just sequel crazy.
Oh, yeah, he does sequels for everything. Like, he's got sequels for Riddick. He's got sequel. They're on the fourth Triple X movie. He's in Guardians of the Galaxy, and you cannot sign on with a Marvel movie and not be expected to do sequels. So, I mean, same thing happened with...
Unless you're Edward Norton.
Right, well, yeah. Same thing happened with Keanu Reeves. When he did Speed, they wanted to do Speed 2. He's like, yeah, no, I don't do sequels. And then he did Matrix, and they're like, no, you're going to do more. And he's like, oh, I can make a lot of money doing sequels? Okay. And now he does sequels for everything.
Well, he did sequels before Speed.
With Bill and Ted?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which they're making another one of those, too.
Yeah. Bill and Ted 3. I believe they're calling it Bill and Ted at 50.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Right. No, that's the right feeling. You shouldn't know.
You should feel excellent. Yeah. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on these movies?
Like I said, they were good racing movies. They were very entertaining. As I was watching, like, not knowing what was to come, I did find myself, like, getting really excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're doing that? They're doing what? What's happening? And it just kept building and building from there. Except I have it personally, 3 was my least favorite. Oh. And that was the only one I had seen bits and pieces of before watching the whole series. And it still holds that 3 is my least favorite.
Yeah. I would agree. Well, it doesn't fit into the franchise well.
Yeah, it just feels like it was put there because they needed a placeholder.
Well, it felt like it was its own solid enough movie, like if it wasn't titled Fast and the Furious anything. Well, like they just slapped the Fast and the Furious label on a different movie altogether.
To make money.
I think what it was is it was meant to be a spin-off. And I don't think it was supposed to be part of the series. Like, it was supposed to be its own thing. And
that's why it had the Tokyo Drift subtitle.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what it was that made them put it in. Maybe they really liked Han and decided they wanted him in more movies, but they killed him. So how are we going to do that? Oh, well, we'll make it part of the storyline. We'll just put it down the line.
I know I liked Han.
Yeah. I mean, Han's great. Mm-hmm. I miss Han. Han's a great character. Mm-hmm. Han is the Brad Pitt of this movie.
Yes.
Because he's always eating. Yes. Like Brad Pitt is always eating in the Ocean's 11 movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great. So, I don't know. It could be that they're like, hey, we really like this kid who played Han. We want him in the rest of the movies. And, well, sir, you killed him. Nah,
that doesn't mean anything.
Nah, I fix it.
So, how they got around this is, and we'll cover this next week, but it's the third one takes, so 4, 5, and 6 take place after 2, and so it leads up to Tokyo Drift,
mm-hmm.
even though the technology that they're using of cell phones and stuff was completely out of that.
But they were in Japan.
Japan is ahead of our time.
It should be more technological.
Right. They have some pretty sophisticated stuff in that.
Right. But by the time you get to 6, they're using iPhones in that.
That's true.
And in 3, they were using, like, you know, Nokias and stuff.
But that's they true. Realized that Nokia is indestructible.
Mm-hmm. Their cars may be indestructible, but their iPhones aren't. So they had to go back a little bit on technology there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to look at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So the first movie made $144 million. Second one made $127 million, and then the third one only made $62 million. It didn't do well at all.
Yeah.
4 made $155 million. 5 made $209 million, and then 6 made $238 million. 7 again topped it with $353 million, and then 8 made $226 million.
Now is this domestic only?
This is domestic, yeah.
Yeah, because if you factor in international, those numbers inflate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm wondering if 3 is actually bigger in Japan.
Well, cumulative worldwide gross of 8 is $1.2 billion.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. And Tokyo Drift worldwide made $158 million.
So...
Yeah,
so
nowhere near.
Yeah, they were like that. Well, it doesn't feel very Tokyo.
No, because there's so many white and Latina people in Tokyo.
Oh, much.
Where are the Asians in Tokyo? I'm worried.
This movie was obviously filmed in California. Yeah. What is wrong with you people?
They're like, don't worry, just hang in for another hour and a half, and then you'll see Vin Diesel for 3 minutes.
For 3 minutes.
Because family.
I mean, these movies are just fun. They're just fun to watch and then go, really?
Yeah.
And we do that a lot in the last 4 movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I made the mistake of trying to logic and, like, ask questions about the stuff they were doing.
I warned you. I told you not to do that.
But that's what I do. And then I finally just realized that I can't do this. Just like... What? Okay, sure, go ahead.
Well, and it's so great that the second half of the franchise really brings on some big name people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have big celebrities who want to be a part of this because they know it's fun.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
You get The Rock.
You get The Rock, mm-hmm. and The Rock is amazing in this. You get Charlize Theron giving one of her best performances.
You get Jason Statham.
But Charlize Theron gives such a good performance.
She does.
In a freaking Fast and Furious movie? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to waste your talent on that? But you know what? It was awesome.
Yep.
It was awesome. That's it.
They'll also get, who else? Kurt Russell?
Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren, who apparently was at the premiere of 7, said she wanted to be in these movies so bad.
So they wrote her a part.
So Vin Diesel's like, okay, and he wrote her a part. Like, if you are Hollywood A-lister and you want just a fun outing, just say, hey, Vin, I want to be in your movie. And he'll like, okay.
I'm going to write you into that.
He'll write you in.
He's the Sylvester Stallone for this day and age.
Yes, he is. He really is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So be sure to join us next week, next Tuesday, for the
fun episode.
Fun episode.
like we're enjoying this. You're going to have a blast next week.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So join us right here or go online to gomezcast.com and get all of our episodes on iTunes and Spotify and and Stitcher and Alexa, and we're everywhere.
We are you don't even need to worry about finding us. We're there.
We're there.
But
we'll come to you.
Please go find us. Yeah. GomezCast.com, our latest episode.
Like Jason Statham, we're already behind you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, you've been listening to We're a Little Behind. We'd like to thank our special guest, Monica Hicks, who will be back next week.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And you have been listening to We're a Little Behind.
Good night.
Get ready to laugh, because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
KCNR.